It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. With the departure of Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy, how long ago was that?
Oh, a couple of months already, right?
All right. We are on the lookout and looking for a new police superintendent here in Chicago. And I guess there are 39 candidates, and we're going to get to know someone now. Baltimore Police Department officers were standing behind a barrier. Protesters were gathering near the Baltimore Police Department's Western District Station during a march and vigil over the death of Freddie Gray, April 21st, 2015, in Baltimore, Maryland. 25-year-old Gray died from spinal injuries on April 19th, 1 week after being taken into police custody. There was a story here in the city where someone who had some mental illness, parents were called, police were called, rather, to the scene, and this person was shot, a neighbor was shot. There's a lot of criticism that the Chicago Police Department is getting, and all of a sudden Gary McCarthy's gone. Want you to meet Michael A. Wood, Jr. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hi, Bill and Wendy. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the platform opportunity.
Absolutely. Now, we're trying to restore all this public trust. There's now going to be some new training where police officers should know and be trained to deal with mentally ill. A lot of misconduct cases in the news. And we would like you to tell us why you're pretty uniquely qualified to lead the Chicago Police Department.
Well, I think the biggest unique aspect of me is that I'm trying to say that we need to change the entire paradigm of what policing is. We literally need to stop and put on the brakes and ask for the first time what the people want from police, because we've never actually even asked that question. We've always had the evolution of law enforcement, and then police leadership arose and told the populace what to want, what they wanted, and it became like an ideology. We do things now that are actually ineffective. And first thing we need to do is just stop and listen. And that's what I've been trying to demonstrate over the last year, and I've been fighting since about 2009, is to stop and listen to the people.
And you were absolutely fed up with all the misconduct that you said that you saw in Baltimore in the police department. So you began posting some of the stuff you witnessed on Twitter, which, of course, captured attention from Newsweek, The Washington Post. You have left the force in 2014. But now, how do the police officers respond to you tweeting out what you're not liking? The people, I'm sure, love it. But what about the police department?
Well, I mean, I fully expected that there was going to be people that didn't like what I was saying. I mean, it's a brotherhood, so no one's going to like that transparency and that exposure. But shockingly, even to me, a lot of cops understand and they get it. I've had hundreds, if not thousands, of emails from across the country of cops and people wanting to go into the profession that are really understanding, and getting this discussion going is like sowing those seeds so that the new crop of officers and a lot of the younger officers truly get that we do need to stop and rethink what we're doing.
You spent how many years, Michael? Did you spend 11 years there in Baltimore for the Baltimore Police Department?
Yes, sir, 11 years.
All right, 11 years. Is the situation in Baltimore, was the situation in Baltimore comparable in any way to what's going on right now here in Chicago?
Well, you have all the same indicators, and that's kind of one of my leading frustrations right now, is Chicago seems to be on the same path that Baltimore was on. It just seems to be about a year behind, and like, I want to scream, like, you guys don't make the same mistakes, because we're the same type of cities. You have the hyper-segregation, you have the proximity to environmental pollution, you have all these same indicators. It's like the exact same scenarios, you're just three times larger. So I want to sit there and just say, no, you can't. You have to approach this thing differently. We don't need to follow that same path. Mm-hmm. And watching it is very frustrating.
We have Michael A. Wood, Jr. on the line with us, wants to be Chicago's next top cop to replace Superintendent Gary McCarthy. So one of 39 applicants for this job. Now, hearing you talk, I would imagine the public is like, all right, listen to this guy. He's going to make sure the cops don't have any wrongdoing, maybe rebuild that trust between the community and the police department. Who votes for this? I mean, how are you appointed? I don't have any idea how a police superintendent gets the job.
Well, it varies by geography and jurisdiction, but for you guys, it's pretty much up to the mayor who's going to get the job. So he's supposed to represent the people. So like, that's my only hope. I am not the traditional candidate. You're not going to see me unless people really push. And the question is that push strong enough yet?
Have you met the mayor yet?
I haven't. I welcome it.
You better get in there, dude.
Yeah, hurry up. Hurry up. Michael, this is one of those jobs, and I mean, there's a lot of jobs like this. The presidency is one of these jobs where you say, why would anybody want that job? Why would anybody want to be Chicago's police commissioner? Why do you want the job so badly?
I don't really feel like it's a choice. So I focus my education. I thought this was going to be a scholarly endeavor. I started doing the science of this, and I thought I was going to, like, pretty much invent the police science of, you know, management, that like, actually make it a science and do it from that approach. And then when the uprising here happened and we had Black Lives Matter rise and I became more involved with them, that like it feels like a moral imperative now that I have the skills, I see it, I listen to the people. There's not another cop in this country that can stand on the front lines of a Black Lives Matter protest and be accepted, and then go into a roll call room and understand that side and be accepted. It's like, I feel like I have to do it, or at least I have to make myself available for that choice to be there.
All right, reading some of the tweets, and some of it I can't say on the air, but relieving oneself inside suspects' home during raids on their beds and clothes. That's one of the tweets that you put out there. Punting a handcuffed face down suspect in the face after a foot chase. My handcuffs, not my boot or suspect. These are some pretty harsh things that you're criticizing the Baltimore Police Department of, and you're still getting support from police officers out there.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows it's wrong. And when you're in that moment, you still know it's wrong. It's just that you're so ingrained in that us versus them mentality that it's like the assault and the victimization, it isn't comprehended. Just like, you know, any other group out there that you can think of, whether it's the military or other police departments in the past, like you just get into that isolated bubble and don't stand outside and take a real look. And the more we push integration instead of occupation and getting people to look, they do start to see it. It's just we got to break out of that bubble.
Michael Awood Jr. is his name. He's one of the applicants, 39 applicants, to be the Chicago police chief. We'll continue this conversation in a minute. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. That's our phone number and our text line. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder. Michael Awood Jr. is our guest. He's an ex-Marine. He served in Baltimore's police department for 11 years, and now he wants to come here and be the Chicago police chief. Michael, let's say you got the job. Let's say you are the new chief of police here for the city of Chicago. What do you do right away?
Well, the first thing we have to do is stop being the enemy and change our metrics. We have to filter through a new standard. What is generally accepted as being right in policing is whether it's lawful. We don't actually seek justice. And we don't even measure whether we're doing the right thing. We measure whether we're doing the legal thing. So we have to stop and say, what is the right thing? And there's certain things that we know for sure, such as the enforcement of low-level narcotics, and that we know start a cycle that create more crime and make us actually part of the problem instead of part of the solution, and make our officers less safe by chasing down drug offenses.
Now, the city of Chicago is reviewing applications from candidates locally and in other cities. A total of 39 candidates. The application deadline was January 15th. And Michael Wood Jr. is on the line with us. You started tweeting things, quote, that I've seen and participated in policing that is corrupt, intentional or not. I think this is a great idea. I think if we have someone, the top cop, who is helping the public, we would love that. We would love to see that. I'm curious as to what the mayor would think about this. And why haven't you talked to Mayor Rahm Emanuel yet? When are they going to decide?
I don't know how they're trying to go about it and what they're going to decide. I'm just, I truly want to represent the people and see that this reform is absolutely necessary. I've been making the argument, anybody can go on the internet and type my name in. There's hundreds of hours of videos where I kind of break down a lot more of the nuance of this discussion. But this reform is absolutely necessary. We see it from all sides, and it's like we're just afraid to make that change. And if we stop being afraid, I mean, there's not going to be some, the world's not going to fall apart if we allow regular citizens to have an influence over the direction of a police department. I mean, that's what it is. It's a team effort, and we really understand that that must take place, but we have to do it. It's like, let's do it, please.
You're not going to get an argument out of us. I mean, I completely agree with that, but don't you have to capture the attention of the people going through these applications?
Well, one thing that I've done differently and that they should have hopefully noticed was that I'm already transparent and public. I'm not hiding anything. My application is on the website with all 8 essay questions. It's like a 38-page application that spells out specifically what I would want to do there and what my thoughts are in regards to Chicago. So those things are different. I'm being transparent. I'm trying to show that. Whether anyone's going to hear that, I don't know. I mean, I can't call the mayor. He's not going to pick up.
Why not? Seriously, don't you think?
Sure, that easy.
Well, you have to get the ear of someone because, you know, this sounds great. It looks great on paper. It looks great on Twitter. But, you know, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, I mean, you got to make some noise and get noticed, don't you?
We're hoping. I mean, this is what we're doing the interviews. This is like this actually like it's so it's I feel like it's not about me. It is about these reform ideas. I only represent the willingness to not want to come in and be a dictator. I only represent the willingness to listen and try to come to team efforts that we go out to and do, and not just like my ideas. It's not my ideas. This is about the people. So it's like the people have to do this.
Michael, explain this. And this is a problem locally, but it's also a problem nationally. You have an area that's predominantly an African-American area, but the police force that are taking care of that area is a predominantly white police force. What's the reason behind that? Is that something that should change, do you think?
I mean, obviously, it should change. How we spell that out, I think it's more about integration, not occupation. So I'll say that all the time because, for example, in Baltimore, William Porter, who was one of the officers charged in the killing of Freddie Gray, he just grew up blocks away from Freddie Gray and still wasn't invested into that community. So it's about having people in a system set in place that makes the officer invested in the community. That's one of the big dramatic things that's taken place with me since I've retired, is that I've really become invested in the local activism and in the community in Baltimore. And it's such a change in perspective that that's just what we need people to do. And so those things will flow naturally if we're integrating in the community.
Now, you publicly left the force. You retired, what, in 2014?
Yes, ma'am.
And when did you start tweeting these things?
That was June. So it was about a year and a half later.
So it's not like you were forced out or anything. You chose to leave.
Right. I had an injury. So that's my only thing. I mean, I would have been in the agency other than having an injury, and they force you out in Baltimore after you've had a year that you can't, and I had to have another surgery. So that's the only reason I was out.
Just one of these tweets that really makes a lot of sense to a lot of people. Targeting 16 to 24-year-old black males essentially because we arrest them more, perpetuating the circle of arresting them more. I mean, it makes total sense.
Right, and that's kind of the evolution of where profiling has gone. So and we went from like a racial profiling thing to a geography profiling to, you know, predicting variables of who's going to have, you know, be arrestable, and who's going to be arrestable is the person you keep looking at because they have an arrest record. I mean, it's this weird circular logic that invades a lot of policing that kind of gets us into this cycle where there is no justice, and you have that separation of us versus them because there's a different legal operating system.
Michael, good luck with this. What's your next step before we let you go? I know how badly you want this job to be the Chicago police chief, but what's
the
next thing?
We don't know why you want this job.
It's a thankless task. It really is. But what do you do next?
Right now, I'm working on my PhD still. That's what I'm doing, my dissertation, to do this from a scientific approach.
Yeah.
I'm involved in as much activism as I can, and I am waiting. As far as I know, I would be getting a phone call if somebody wanted me to come in. But that's really up to the citizens. It's like, if you guys want that, you have to push that. I can only make myself available, and if it's time for that, then it's time for that.
But we can't go out and get you that job, Michael A. Wood Jr. You got to go do it. I mean, it's not like we have Rahm Emanuel's number on our speed dial where we can go, hey, we got a guy for you.
We're blocked. Our numbers are blocked on his phone.
I don't know if mine is or not.
Oh, all right. All right.
It sounds like you know what you're talking about, and it sounds like you really, truly want to make a difference. So we wish you the best of luck. Whatever we can do to help you, although I don't know what we can do.
All we got to do is talk. These platforms and these discussions make people think about a different approach, regardless of whether it's time yet or not.
All right. Well, we hope you get the job, because when we get arrested for reckless behavior, we want to say we know the Chicago police chief. We want to talk to Michael A. Wood Jr. All right. Thank you, Michael. Good luck.
Right,
all right.
Keep us posted, too. I mean, it really sounds like a fantastic plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just,
so
you know,
let's see what happens with it.
For the public end of things, where this guy's tweeting out all the corruption and things that's going on.
Sure.
But, you know, the whole brotherhood of police officers.
Yeah, that's a clash.
Doesn't seem
isn't
like,
it?
Yeah, a little
yeah,
bit.
A little bit. All right. We'll take a break.